Welcome to Legal Talk, once again this week with Hahn & Hahn attorneys. Nirvana Pillay from Hahn & Hahn joins us to talk about protection orders, more specifically the Harassment Act. How can I get a protection order against someone who is harassing or abusing me? For the first time in 2023, we say hello to Nirvana. Nirvana, how's it going?
I am well, and you, Ian?
Good, thank you. It's nice to talk to you again. I think the last time we spoke was in December, and then you said you're starting some renovations at home. How's that going?
Oh, I think we're almost all done, about 99% there. We just have a few minor things, then we're going to get, then we're going to be done and dusted with it.
99% is good. Well done. Well done. Getting there. Awesome. So, protection orders. Let's talk about the legislation as well. Nirvana, what legislation is applicable in instances of abuse and harassment for purposes of these protection orders?
So the legislation that we have to consider here would be the Domestic Violence Act 116 of 1998, as well as the Protection from Harassment Act 17 of 2011. So those are the two main acts that we would have to consider when discussing protection orders for harassment or domestic violence.
Okay, and how do these acts define harassment and domestic violence?
So the Domestic Violence Act defines domestic violence as physical, sexual, emotional, verbal, and psychological abuse, economic abuse, intimidation, harassment, stalking, and damaged property. It also includes unauthorized entry into the property of the complainant. Emotional, verbal, and psychological abuse refers to a pattern of degrading or humiliating conduct against the complainant. So an example of this would be repeated insults, ridicule, or name-calling, repeated threats to cause emotional pain and controlling behavior, jealousy, and a serious invasion of a person's privacy, liberty, integrity, and security. Whereas harassment, in terms of the Protection from Harassment Act, defines it as directly or indirectly engaging in conduct that the individual knows or ought to know will cause harm or inspires the reasonable belief that harm may be caused to the complainant by unreasonably following, watching, pursuing, accosting the complainant, or loitering outside or near the building or place where the complainant or person resides or works. It also includes engaging in verbal, electronic, or any other communication aimed at the complainant by means whether or not a conversation ensues, by sending, delivering, or causing the delivery of letters, packages, or emails and other objects to the complainant or related person, or leaving them where they will be found or brought to the attention of the complainant. It also amounts to sexual harassment of the complainant or the related person.
Okay, now which courts have jurisdiction to issue a protection order? And is this protection order only enforceable in the jurisdiction in which that protection order was then issued?
All right, so any court within the area in which the complainant or the respondent is permanently or temporarily residing, carrying on business, or employed, or where the domestic violence or harassment acts took place would have jurisdiction to issue a protection order. And then a protection order is enforceable not only in the jurisdiction where protection order was issued, but it is enforceable throughout the Republic of South Africa.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Nirvana, how does a complainant or a victim of domestic violence or harassment go about obtaining a protection order? I think that's a very big question today.
You know, it is. It's quite a process. It's not that difficult. It's actually, if you go to the magistrate court, if you go to a police station, they will very easily help you with it. The complainant may, in the prescribed manner, so this would be the Form 2 application form, will go to court and apply for a protection order against the harassment or domestic violence, supporting affidavits by persons who have knowledge of the matter concerned may accompany the application. I always feel that it is important for the complainant to also do an additional affidavit, just setting out the acts of domestic violence, the acts of harassment in more detail, and then attaching it to the form too. So then the court has a full picture of what exactly is going on. Then if the complainant or party who has an interest in the well-being of the complainants is not represented by a legal representative, then the clerk will explain to them the relief available in terms of the act, the right to also lodge a criminal complaint against the respondent. Then an application for a protection order may be brought outside ordinary court hours or days if the court has a reasonable belief that the complainant or related person is suffering or may suffer harm if the application is not dealt with immediately. So the court will then consider the application and grant an interim protection order where the court is of the view that there's evidence that the respondent is engaging or has engaged in harassment or domestic violence, or where harm is being suffered or may be suffered by the complainant if the interim order is not granted. So then the interim protection order, as well as the complainant's application, will be served on the respondent by either the clerk of the court, the sheriff, or police officer. The interim protection order will then call upon the respondent to show cause on a return date. This return date is contained in the interim protection order itself. And then the respondent will have to show good cause as to why the interim protection order should not be made final. The interim protection order will be enforceable from the date that it is issued by the court and the existence of the protection order is made brought to the attention of the respondent. And then in instances where the court does not issue an interim protection order immediately, so on the day that the applicant makes application to the court will then direct that a certified copy of the application and the supporting affidavits will be served on the respondent by the police officer or the clerk of the court or a sheriff. And then it would also call upon the respondent to show cause on the return date as to why the protection order should not be granted or issued. It's not that difficult of a process. It's actually quite simple.
Okay, and what conduct may be prohibited by the court by virtue of the protection order?
So the court may prohibit the respondent from committing any acts of domestic violence or harassment, getting the assistance of another person to inflict harm on the complainant, entering the residence of the complainant, or a specified part of the residence, entering the complainant's place of employment, or committing any other act as specified by the protection order.
Nirvana, can the court issue a warrant of arrest against the respondent?
So the court must make an order that authorizes the issue of a warrant of arrest whenever it issues a protection order. The court must then suspend the execution of such warrants so that if the respondent does not comply with any condition, prohibition, obligation, or order in terms of both the Domestic Violence Act as well as the Protection from Harassment Act, then that respondent will get immediately arrested. The court may order that any weapon in the possession of the respondent is seized. If they are of the opinion that the respondent may use the weapon to cause harm or inflict harm on the complainant or a related party, or even upon him or his or herself. So the court will take all of that into consideration, including the mental state of the respondent and what they are capable of.
Nirvana, lastly, where can people find more information on the process and the forms to be completed?
All right, so the South African Police Service website or the relevant police station in your area itself can assist you with completing the form and also direct you on the manner in which the form is to be completed. They can also give you advice as to whether you need to lay a criminal charge or not in order to complete the form, in order to apply for a protection order. It's actually not necessary for you to lay a criminal charge for you to apply for a protection order. The Department of Justice and Constitutional Development website also sets out organizations that can assist you if you are a victim of domestic abuse or harassment. It lists all the forms that need to be completed, so you can download the forms from the website itself. And it also provides you with a breakdown of how the application for domestic violence or harassment process works. And then you can also go to law clinics and law firms, as I discussed, if you need legal representation and you're not too sure of how to go about completing the forms, or if you just want advice on how your affidavit should be set out. I always think that it's a good idea for the complainant to kind of do a history of the domestic violence or the harassment that has taken place. So you break it down in terms of psychological abuse or physical abuse and the harassment that took place. So you just break it down and you do each period and the dates that it took place on. And that makes it easier for when you take it to court and the magistrate is looking at it in order for them to determine what is the best route to take. So should I grant an interim protection order now, or do I not grant the interim protection now and then ask the respondent to come back to the return date to determine whether it is necessary or not?
Okay, and Ivana was kind enough to provide us with some useful links, which we will post below the podcast on the eRadio SA website. Ivana, that was very, very nice. I like people who think ahead and think of these things. So thank you so much for that. Some useful links that you can click on. We'll take you straight to whatever you need, even the forms. Ivana, that was very kind of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's Legal Talk for another week. That's Ivana Pillay, Associate Attorney from Hahn & Hahn Attorneys.
Are you or your business in trouble and struggling to find a solution? Call Hahn & Hahn Attorneys, as we assist clients in finding solutions. We specialize in consumer and food law, commercial and construction law, forensic investigations, and administrative law. Visit hahnlaw.co.za. That's H-A-H-N. We assist clients nationwide. Hahn & Hahn Attorneys, because we care. Don't miss Legal Talk with Hahn & Hahn Attorneys, Wednesday mornings at 10 on eRadio.